So we're in a series in 2 Peter chapter 1 about if you want to grow. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Normally I hear myself more than I am. If you all would pray for me that the Spirit use me and that it not be me. Father, I ask you that these people may have ears to hear, that they may hear your word, and that I may proclaim your word accurately and honestly, and that your truth be known and your love be known to all. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so we are going to start out. I'm going to read through verse 11 or so. And we're going to kind of get an overview of things first. I love how this thing shakes. It just makes it so fun to try to read. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound in you, they make you that ye shall never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make sure your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, taken as a whole, that's pretty awesome. So, what we're talking about tonight is going to be brotherly kindness, or brotherly love, or I looked up the Strom's thing, and it basically means love, or the words like phileo, kind of like the city of Philadelphia, brotherly love. I'm not sure there's a lot of brotherly love there, but that's what I found out about that. I'm not sure how much relevance that has in the way we live. But anyway, we're going to do a quick overview of the whole thing, and then we will talk about brotherly love. So, like, who bakes in here? Who knows how to bake a cake? Okay, what goes in a cake? Okay, I heard like flour and eggs and sugar. All right, so if I decide that I want to make a cake, but I don't want to do everything that it takes to make the cake, and I just put some sugar in a pan and throw it in the oven, it might be good, I don't know, but it's not going to be a cake. And if I take some flour and some eggs, I don't know what you're going to get, but it's not going to be cake. So we've been talking about all these things that we need to add to our faith, and we need to do those as a whole, not as each individual thing. You don't work on one. You don't put the sugar in and cook it and then put the flour in and cook it. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a big mess. So we need to look at this as a whole. So looking at the first 12 verses or so, it starts out, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. It's very interesting that he calls himself a servant first and then an apostle. And that'll come into play later when we talk about brotherly kindness. But he's a servant first and then an apostle, because there was probably in the early church a lot of reverence given to the apostles because they were Christ's chosen 12, and that was pretty cool. So we've obtained a precious faith, and it's not through our righteousness, it says here. It says, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, he's even got it up there. How cool is that? So it's not our righteousness that has allowed us to even start to work on these things. It's through God's righteousness and Jesus Christ. And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Pete was talking about the knowledge. He says knowledge twice in these first 11 verses. And through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know the knowledge of God? In the old times, like Abraham and Moses, God spoke to them. He sent a burning bush. He did some stuff to Abraham. I can't remember what. Told him to take his son up on the mountain and sacrifice him. I don't know how I forgot that one. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. But knowledge, okay? We get our knowledge in this time through the Word of God. And Pete was talking about that earlier. You have to know this. It's the only way that God's going to speak to you. You have to know the Word. Okay, so we know about knowledge. So then he says, according as his divine power hath given us unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So because of who Christ is, and it says in Hebrews that we have a, Jesus is our high priest. That's it. Thank you. Our high priest that can totally sympathize with us because he's been through everything that we've been through. Okay? So he's given us all things. He knows exactly everything that we're going to face in this life because Jesus faced it. So he's given us all that grace and the knowledge to be able to deal with that in his Word. Quit shaking. And then again, he says, we get all this things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And who called us to glory and virtue but Jesus Christ? So that's twice now, knowledge. So that's super important. And then this is the cool part. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that ye may be partakers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has made us to be partakers in the divine nature. That is, as we are changed from our old self through the renewing of our mind, like Pete said, we didn't plan this before time either, but through the renewing of our mind, we get to be partakers in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. We get to be a little bit like him as we go through the world. And we've escaped all the evil that is in the world because we're protected, like it says in Psalm 91. We abide in him under his wings, and we won't see the devastation. 10,000 will fall at our side, but it won't come near us. And those are some comforting words for the times we live in now, 100%, because it's ugly out there for sure. But we have escaped the corruption of the world because we're protected, and we're not subject to have to be slaves of the flesh like the rest of the world is. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do anything else other than what pleases them and what seems right to them. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites would go astray, it would say in the Bible, and every man did what he saw right. And how'd that work out for them? Let's see, the Babylonians came in and messed with them, the Assyrians, there were a whole bunch, and it's still going on today, unfortunately. But we've escaped those things, and those things come into the world through lust, not necessarily like, you know, oh, she's pretty lust, but because we want what that person has. We want what they have over there. We want lower gas prices. We want this. We want that. And that's what he means by that, I'm fairly certain of. See, my belly comes in good for some stuff. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So knowing all these things that God and Christ have done for us, giving us a taste of his divine nature, you know, letting us stand in the world uncorrupted, all these great things, giving us the knowledge of him. All, and he says, and besides this, add all diligence to your faith and virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, we know about knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and temperance is self-control, or as I like it to call it, self-restraint. A lot of us have a lot of special gifts given to us by God. I can come up with one-liners really good, but it's not always beneficial for me to come up with one-liners. And self-restraint is like meekness. In the Bible, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Inheriting the earth is a pretty big deal, I would think. But to be meek is to be under control. It does not mean you are weak. It means, in a lot of cases, you have a great power inside you. And if it's not meek, it is just destruction spread all over the place. I liken it to if I had a Top Fuel dragster, okay, and I put bicycle tires on it and took it to the track. That would be a massive disaster. But if I put big old fat slicks on it, I can meek all that power and make it go exactly where I want it to go. So that's what God does to us. That's what temperance does to us. You know, back in the day, temperance was abstaining from alcohol. You know, always makes me think of that band Pure Prairie League. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Amy, you know, but yeah, but anyway, that's off the topic. Anyway, we were on temperance. Add to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, which is what we're talking about tonight eventually, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So that's a lot of stuff to remember, but he sums it up here. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have these things, and you have a lot of them, you're not going to be unfruitful or barren. You're going to know about God. You're going to talk about God. You're going to share God. If you're making that cake that I was talking about earlier, you're going to put all the ingredients in and at the same time, and you're going to bake the cake, and it's going to be a really big cake that lots of people can eat from. And there's going to be a harvest because you're going to be so abundantly full of all these good things. People will see you, and they will want to know what's going on. They'll be like, hey, there's something different. That guy's godly. He's kind. He shows love to everybody. He has great self-restraint. He's morally excellent. And they're gonna be like, why is he like that? And I can't be like that. So moving on here. Now there's a warning here. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So I think he's not necessarily talking about a lost person in this case. I think he's talking about an idle Christian, somebody that's idling in life. They're not driving. They're not moving forward. They're not striving ahead. They're not running the race, like Paul said, to run the race to win. So they had forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. We're going to have a hard time reading God's word and being joyous and happy and thankful, like Jamie was talking about, if we forget all that he has done for us by forgiving us. Because that is the awesome thing. If we've been purged from all of our old sins, we should be running down the street going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We should not be moping down the street going, I'm a Christian, but I don't want anybody to know because they might make fun of me. And, you know, I'm just going to go hide over here. Can't do that. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. We're going to come back to that one a little later. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you and abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that an entrance shall be made for you. But not just, you're not just going to heaven. You're going to heaven abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. Now, it's kind of like when you were at prom, it was like, I'm thinking way back now, you know, certain people would just kind of walk in and they'd be, oh, look, it's them, and da-di-da-di-da, and then the prom king and queen would come in and everybody'd be looking and, oh, look at that, it's them. They're the great, awesome high school people that don't know nothing about the world yet. But anyway, that if you do all this stuff, it says you'll have that kind of an entrance into heaven. People would be like, oh, look, here comes so-and-so. That's that great Christian that witnessed to all those people and was filled with the Spirit everywhere he went and showed kindness and love to everyone and had patience and self-control and all these things. Look, he's coming into heaven. An abundant entrance into heaven. That's pretty cool. So that's kind of an overview of what's going on here. But we're going to talk about brotherly kindness, brotherly love, really however you want to put it. And just a side note, brotherly kindness, and then it says charity. If you look up the love thing in Corinthians, I can't remember where it's at, but it's there somewhere. Charity will just about wrap up what love is. So bear with the King James Version on that, but it covers it. So some things that I found in the knowledge of God in the Bible about brotherly kindness. We'll go to Galatians 6:10. Am I giving them to you out of order? Okay. Anyway, I'll just read it. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the house of faith. So, this is Paul now, not Peter, but it's kind of funny because they kind of have the same view of brotherly love. It's like they were both trained by the same person, maybe. So, I don't know. Might be an argument for the Bible there. But, anyhow, every opportunity we have, we should do good to all men, but especially to those who are in the house of faith, which means we need to look after each other and those who are in the world. So that goes with that. And then, of course, Jesus, they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, and you all should know this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That's going back to the Old Testament, but and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's straight from the words of Jesus, so you can pretty much take that to the bank. That's the most important thing. I'm getting my other verses out here. I like paper still. So in Matthew 18, which the song was about, verses 21 through, can't read my writing. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven time, but until 70 times seven. So I'm not real good at math, but I think that's like either 700 or 7,000. I'm not sure. 490, is that it? I told you I wasn't good at math. Everything's metric now, so I don't have to worry about that. Anyhow, I proved I can't do math, so. But anyway, so Peter, the loudmouth of the group, was putting Jesus to the test. He's like, at what point do I get to say, I don't have to mess with you anymore. You keep wronging me. Forget you. I'm going to do something bad to you or whatever because you've wronged me too many times. And he's trying to look for an out because he's probably mad at somebody. And so he's looking for an out, but Jesus tells him, basically, I heard this, I don't know how true it is, but like sevens are like special in the Bible. So it means like, yeah, it basically means forever you have to keep forgiving him, which that's pretty good in my case. So, but yeah, that's where Jesus said a couple of times about brotherly love. You got to forgive. You know, you got to look after the people in the church and the people outside of the church. And we go to the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through, it's either 10 or 11. See, it's numbers that always get me. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Even until now, he that love his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, if I'm thinking that if we go back to what we were saying in 2 Peter, let me find it here. Yeah, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten he was purged from his old sins. So they're both, were under the teaching of Jesus, so they're both saying the same thing. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walketh in the darkness and knoweth not where he goes. And not being able to see afar off, that's, if I can only see here, I can't figure out what's going on. But if I can see way out there, I can see what's going on. In the same sense, when I'm mad at somebody, all I see is the anger. It's blinding me. Just like the scripture says, it's blinding me, and I can't see afar off. But when I have patience and self-control, and I don't let that anger get a hold of me, I can see afar off, and I can see, well, this person wronged me, but Jesus said to forgive him, and maybe the reason they wronged me was because of something that they're struggling with, and I should love them anyway, so, and forgive them, because that's what Jesus would do. So now we'll move on to my favorite, which is Philippians 2, 3 through 7. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. So strife or vainglory, those are like arguing and placing yourself in a position of authority that you really don't have. Like if you're going to not forgive somebody, you're taking the authority that God has and you're taking it into your own hands, and you're not forgiving somebody. You're not loving them like God commands you to do. So that'd be vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man onto his own things, but every man also onto the things of others. This is a hard one, because when you're not feeling brotherly love, this especially happens to me at work. It's not fair that I have to do this while he does that, and he never cleans up after himself, and I do all the cleaning in the shop. It's not fair. I shouldn't have to do this. Well, Philippians 2 says, Will, can you get me some water? Thank you. I don't want to lose my voice. Might be the best thing. I don't know. But but look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. When you get that in your mind, and you see these guys that are doing things that are not just, and you serve them anyway. When I clean up after the other guy at work, even though he never does, and I serve him, making his interest better than my own, I'm having the mind of Christ. Excuse me. Okay, that's much better. Stop. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. So this all, for some reason, this chapter always has blown me away. And whenever my attitude's not right, whenever I'm not loving my brother, I go to Philippians 2. Because it'll, if you read it and take it in, it'll set you straight because you're wrong. So Jesus was God. And he thought it totally okay for him not to be equal with God, but to be made of no reputation at all, and took on the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. So he said, I'm basically the guy that made the earth and everything in it and everybody in it, but I'm going to go serve them. And not only that, I'm going to wash their feet, the disciples that are going to fall asleep while I'm praying before I'm going to go on the cross, but I'm going to wash their feet before that. And he set the example for us to follow. He loved everyone. The ones that he had harsh words for were the ones that didn't love their brothers, that wanted to put obligations and all these rules in place to make them be a certain way. That's what he didn't like. But he loved those people too. It's just their hearts were hard and they didn't accept him. So that's like a whole thing in Isaiah. So, but anyhow, that's pretty much what I have on brotherly love. And it's important because Jesus loved all of his brothers and sisters. So they just say brothers in the Bible because that's just how it is. But they mean sisters too. Coming back to the part that I skipped in this. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. That's kind of powerful. He says, give all diligence. That's like, put everything you have into making sure that your calling and election is sure. Now, I've looked at what my calling is, and it is at this time to work on minivans. That's my major calling. And you all know my opinion of a minivan. I mean, I was a heavy equipment mechanic. Cranes are cool. Loaders are cool. Big giant trucks. That kind of stuff's cool, but Dodge Caravans are not cool. But I've made my calling sure in the fact that that's where God wants me because, number one, I'm satisfied in it, and there's more glory in it than I ever had working on heavy equipment. And also, every time I've tried to change out of that, I've been pulled back. So God's got his right hand upon me. That right hand hurts sometimes, but he does have it upon me. But the other part I wanted to say something about is make your calling and election sure. Election. The Bible says that we were predestined before the creation of the world. We were elected before the creation of the world. We're God's elected people. We're, you know, when we elect a president, we I'll say, well, not all of us, but a number of a majority of people say that's who we want. Well, God, in his loving kindness, elected us to be in eternity with him. And that is a really awesome thing. But we need to make sure our election is sure. Because without the election being sure, the calling will never work out. It's like I said, those who are lost, who are of the flesh and are thinking about the flesh, like Pete said, cannot please God. Okay, all they can do is destruction, envy, strife, all the bad stuff. So if you're trying to have a calling while you're doing that, it's not going to work out for you. So give all diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So if I understand that we've been given all these great gifts through God's righteousness, we've been had grace and peace multiplied unto us. Again, by his knowledge, we're called to glory. We have a great opportunity to serve him. We're saved from the corruption of the world. And we add to those things virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, love, and we make them abound. We will never fall, and an entrance shall be ministered unto us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to say to everybody here in closing, if your election is not sure, you need to take care of that. You need to talk to me or somebody else here. A lot of the people here can tell you exactly what to do. And think about that. With the way things are going, with the lust of the world going on all over the place, I want your land. We want your land. We want your oil. We want this. You know, the old saying, when something's about ready to be worn out, you say it's not long for the world. Well, the world's not long for the world right now. So you need to make your election sure. And I'm going to pray here in a minute. And if anybody wants to do that, I would ask you to raise your hand while we're praying. And I'll come and talk to you, or somebody will come and talk to you. But don't leave here in the state of things that they are, with the lust of the world bearing down upon us. Don't leave here tonight without making that election sure, because that is the most important thing. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your knowledge that brings us grace and peace and helps us to possess the qualities of knowledge and patience and virtue and temperance and brotherly kindness and love. It's through you that we can do these things, and we ask that they abound in us and that they show others about your love, and that we may be big giant reflectors of you. Lord, I pray for anyone here tonight that doesn't know you but wants to know you, that wants to make that election sure. I pray that they will have the courage to let it be known. And I just ask, is there anyone here tonight that needs to do that? Anyone at all? You could have been in church for your whole life and not really known him, but you can tonight. All right, we're preaching to the saints. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and bless us as we go out today, that we may be found in you. and that as the Master returns, we may be found working and diligently serving you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if everybody could hold on just a minute, Karen has a word that she'd like to say about something.
So there's a few seniors here, and